February 22, 2023. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Imam Dr. Miraj Speaks Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, Assalamu alaikum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Ilahi Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Waqidin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradio.drmirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the ones that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off last Thursday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Maghdubi expresses God's displeasure, anger, wrath. So this word Maghdubi is in the objective case again. So what we all talking about hit them. And they are the people that something hit. God's pleasure, God's displeasure, pardon me, God's anger, God's wrath. So his rejection of them hit them. It is from the word Gadaba, come angry or become very displeased. Where you want to do something about it. You want to hurt somebody. And this comes from the Bible. This is the same word that was used in Scripture before, and they incurred God's wrath. So this is the Bible. Well, ladalin, dala means to miss what you are aiming for. Well, this two L's, At darling means that those who missed what they were aiming for and went astray. That means that they went astray like I was trying to throw something, to hit a certain thing, but it goes off from the target, my throw. Dala, it went off from the target, missed the target. And not those who missed the way are not those who went astray. It means the same thing. Alhamdulillah, li indicates natural strong connection. God says, ilahi, for God. Nafas semewati wal adi ilahi. He didn't say in the laha. No, because that relationship is much stronger. So when I say I possess, I have something in thee. It's like money, it's like a car, it's like those things. But I'm talking about the son, my daughter, my wife. It's no more indie, it is li. Very strong connection. Natural connection, maybe, we should say. A natural connection, like my son, is a natural connection to me. So when God says of himself, Ilahi ma fassamawati wa ardi. He is saying that these things are mine first, before they was anybody else's. They are mine, and they are mine above everybody else. So I'm the owner of everything else. I have first rights to it, etc. Like a woman will tell you, this is my daughter. I don't need you to tell her what to do in front of me. In front of my face, don't be telling her something that you want her to do in my face. God has that right over all of us because he made everything and he made us. The Quran Surah 1, Ayat 7-7. The Quran Surah 15, Ayat 87, 7 repeated verses. The Quran Surah 93, Ayat 7, he found you wondering. The Quran Surah 2, Ayat 144, turn your face to Kaaba. The Quran, Surah 6, Ayah 6, we destroyed people greater than you. The Quran, Surah 26, Ayah 49, crucified a body on opposite sides. The Quran, Surah 14, Ayah 12, you guide us to our path. The Quran, Surah 2, Ayah 36 to 38, gets you down from here. The Quran, Surah 20, Ayah 55, from the earth return it, then resurrect it. The Quran, Surah 12, Ayah 76, Allah above those who have knowledge. The Quran, Surah 41, Ayah 2, come willingly or unwillingly. 1 Kings 4:25, every man has his own vine and fig tree. Matthew 10:38, taketh not his cross. John 19:33-34, Jesus stabbed water and blood came out. El Hadith, page 2, 123, 13 to 17. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 and 4, men of sin and throne of God. 1 John 5, 6, Jesus came by water and blood. Isaiah 61, 6, Israel will eat the riches of the Gentiles. Luke 6:21, woe when all speak well of you. Al-Fatiha read with 7 steps. So when you read Al-Fatiha in Arabic, you can read it in many ways. You could read it line by line. It's okay. This chapter of the Quran is described in the Quran as the 7 matching verses, 7 that comes in twos. Nathina is the Arabic word. So we want to stop even, we want to stop 7 times. 1. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. 2. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Arrahmanirrahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. 4. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. 5. Ihdina surat mustaqim. 6. Surat al-ladina in'amta alayhim. 7. Gairo maghdubi alayhum wa dalim. Al-Fatiha, that's way we make 7 stops. So this is leadership. You establish what you believe to be. The logic, don't buy it from other people if it is not agreeing to what you believe the logic to be. So the first stop comes at the end of the opening. The second stop with comes at the end of Ayat 3, verse 2, and 3 stopping at the end of the verse 3. That is the second stop. So in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this chapter is revealed with 7 matching that comes in 2 du'as. Now let us study what we have done. 1, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Where are the 2? The 2 are Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. 2, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Where are the 2? We pray and we repeat it. It is the same thing, but we say of all the worlds. So the 2 matching is to match what is in the first ayat with Rabbil Alameen, so that this God is Lord of all the worlds, not the Lord of Israel. So the Bible says that the Lord is the Lord of Israel, and it doesn't say it is the Lord of anything else. It is always the Lord is Israel, never the Lord of anything else, of other people. I read the Bible, don't I? I read it. I read the Bible. You read it. Can you recall it saying, the Lord of anybody else? The Bible says the Lord. Who is the Lord? The Lord of Israel. The Lord of Israel, exclusive of the rest of humanity. The Quran, in canceling out the errors in the Bible, so no, he is not the Lord of Israel. He is the Lord of all the world, not just Israel. They must have done something wrong saying the Lord of Israel. And they did. Where did you get the nerve to say that God is your Lord and not the Lord of everybody? They are establishing themselves as an exclusive people who have rights before God or in the presence of God that all other people don't have. And this is a big sin. And this is what the Quran is addressing right here in this surah, this chapter. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim is one time, and then again, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim repeated. So is this repeated twice for no reason? No. It is repeated twice for a real good reason. The same people who say God is their Lord in a very exclusive way to make themselves his only begotten. That is what it says, not Jesus Christ. You need to come away from the church now and come to the masjid. And here Imam W. Dean Muhammad give you what you missed in the church. David is called the only begotten of God before Jesus is called the only begotten. And that is why the one that they say points to the Jews say, Jesus, the son of David. And if he's not the son of David, we can't accept him as Christ. Only David the Christ must come through the lineage of David. That is the Jews' position. The Quran's position is that you are wrong to make these claims. God is the God of everybody, Lord of everybody. It says, Rabbin Nas, Malikin Nas, Elahin Nas. That is in the chapter of the Quran. It says, no, he is not the Lord of Israel. He is Rabbin Nas, the Lord of mankind. Malikin Nas, the king, the master of mankind. It means the judge who is going to set over everybody and judge over everybody. Elahin Nas, and he is the God. Elahi means what you worship. He is Elahin Nas. So he is who mankind should worship. This is the Quran. So Jesus' crucifixion is the Father sacrificing himself. Previous scripture says the Lord repeated he made man. Rahman Rahim is repeated because they acknowledge that God is our Rahman and that he is our Rahim from generation down to generation. And then comes the idea that God did something wrong and he has to repeat his own creation that he made. Man, because man has messed up the world. So he repeats, and how does he repent? He comes in the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary. Peace be on him. And then he repented and given his life, sacrificing the life of his son, which is his life. Understand that now in this so-called logic that is not logic at all, he sacrifices his son. Actually, his son is him. So he puts himself in the flesh so people in the flesh can see him sacrificing himself. Then he sacrifices himself and then sacrifices the mercy. So he was a harsh God too, harsh now. Here come the new face. So this is the loving, the Jesus Christ. So this is me again. I'm coming again. Don't you like me now? See how I suffered for your sake instead of punishing you? I suffered. You have too much of me punishing, so now I come to love you. Even if you treat me bad and hate me, I love you. And I go out like that to win your heart over to me again. So this is a story. So the Quran is challenging that saying. You're recognizing that God is the merciful benefactor. And he was generous to mankind and gave him a beautiful creation to serve his needs and to give him abundantly. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, he gives without counting And the Bible says there is no limit to his mercy. It is infinitive. No counting can count the end. You never know. You cannot go to the end of his generosity and mercy. The Quran says no number can be put on what he gives us, mankind. The Quran says you acknowledge that he is Al-Rahman, but he is also Al-Rahim. And he's a giving the bounty that he gave you and the giving you to that. He also illustrated his mercy because to give you generously, that is kindness, that is mercy, that is love. Wasn't all that established before? So this is the argument of the Quran saying, didn't he establish before he loved you? So why did he have to say he had to come here in the flesh to love you? All that given before, wasn't that love? So it repeats Al-Rahman coming from mercy. The root word of Al-Rahman is mercy, and Al-Rahim, the root word is mercy. No, there is one God, and he is both the God of the Old Testament and the New, and God of the New Testament. And you have misjudged the God of the Old Testament, and his generosity was mercy. And you claim that the second manifestation of him in the New Testament is him. No, he had that all the time. He has never been without these two mercies. These two mercies have always been with him. He has always been Al-Rahman and Al-Rahim. He didn't have to come in the flesh of Jesus Christ to establish that he is Al-Rahman, and he didn't have to do it to establish that he is Al-Rahim. So it is condemning this duality of God, the Trinity of God, really. But the duality is changing directly that there is but one God. So the one you misjudge in the Old Testament, you don't see his mercy. You are wrongly identifying him. He is merciful. He is generous and merciful. And the one that you claim is the Redeemer, Jesus Christ, comes to redeem that which was lost, to bring it back, to restore what was lost. Not just the people, but to restore the quality of life back to the people that they lost. So he is the Redeemer. And his mercy is in the Bible. It is called redemptive mercy. Isn't this mercy, and isn't it redeeming at the same time? So this meaning and the answer that we should understand. So Jesus, one of the Jews God put himself in, is wrong. So he is Al-Rahman and Al-Rahim, then praise. Who are you going to praise? If you're going to say, one of the Jews that God has put himself in, and he has come in the flesh of the Jews to save the world, then who are we going to pray to? Israel and Jesus Christ. No. Praise is to God only, not the Lord of Israel, but the Lord of all the world. So here is a challenging, it is challenging and condemning their claim that God is their Lord to the exclusion of others, other people, and only other people Lord by adaptation. So this is the Bible. I know the Bible. Don't think I don't. Adopted into Judaism is not as an equal. Israel will eat the riches of the Gentile. So it says the Jews are the only begotten of God, and others can become the children of God by adaptation. It is an adopting child equal to the child who comes from the parent. How he going to have the quality of parent? There is not guarantees he is going to have the quality of the parent when he is adopted. And that is exactly what they are trying to say. I'm not doing this to attack this. I'm doing this to save us. So we have the right understanding. I don't need to attack them. God is enough for them. He has them. Don't think he hasn't. He has them by the jugular vein and the umbilical cord, both. Maliki Yom Midin, you are claiming that you are the only begotten and he is your Lord to the exclusion of others. And you are presenting him all over again and saying that he was too harsh, so the more kind face has to come. So you say this so-called son of his is a God who is kind and loving. No, you're making all these mistakes. And you speak of the King of Israel, not the King of any other people. And everybody is going to have to recognize their king and bring their treasures and put them at the feet of their king. So this is the Bible. It is not going to be your king. This is going to be the only king. So this God that we are talking about here, who is being revealed all over again, the true identity is being revealed. He is going to be the only king on the day of judgment. Some translators say the sole master of the day of judgment. So he is going to be the master on the day of judgment or the day of religion, when religion manifests, and that is what the Quran is doing. It is manifesting religion in the true picture, and when that true picture is established, that is going to be judgment day for who? Day of judgment for men who present themselves as God. So men of sin in the throne of God. So we think it is going to be a judgment day for the guy who sold a bag of reefer or something. Person is of no importance in the scheme of God. It is going to be judgment day for the bigger criminal than that. It is going to be judgment day for the one who exalted himself, as the Bible says, and aspired to put himself in the very seat of God, as God. So this is the Bible. He desires to put himself in the very seat of God, on the throne of God, and present himself to the world as God. Now, this is the big criminal that the Quran is against, and it is going to be his day. Judgment day is for him and all of his followers who choose to follow, who choose to be with him or will separate from him when he is condemned. Isn't that a clear and easy judgment? Doesn't it take all the complications out of understanding the judgment? Why should God have to intervene and come into the picture to judge if we are doing nothing but having sex unlawfully and getting drunk and taking some drugs or whatever, shooting and killing each other? Our own hearts have been created to repent those acts. But our heart can't repent the acts of Satan. It is too deep and too high above our head. So God has to bring about a judgment. So after we recognize the truth of his identity, then we ask for help. Now ask the right one for help. Iyaka na'abudu. So we are ready to worship you now, God. We see clearly, but the innocent soul and heart of Muhammad, the prophet prayers and the peace be upon him, could not worship that God that Israel presented. He wasn't ready to worship that God. No, indeed. But now we see you clearly, and we see you separate from the false charges made against you. Now we say you alone. Iyaka means only you. You alone do we worship, and you alone do we seek for help. Then we say, Isdina Suratu Mustaqim, guide us, because we have been misguided by these false religions and these false claims, our Lord. So now you guide us, our God, on the straight way, the way of those you favor. You didn't favor these crooks who did this wrong thing, not those who incurred your wrath. The Old Testament is all about Jews incurring the wrath of God, even while they had a prophet living amongst them and they rebelling against him and incurring the wrath of God. That was Moses and others too, and not those who erred or went astray. How come they erred? Because they followed the Jews who themselves erred and went astray. They didn't follow their prophet. So he found you wondering. Bad means right away. Boom, I mean, it didn't happen right away. So those who came into their darkness and lost their way incorrectly, innocently, pardon me, as the Christians. Now we know that more than the Christians are darlings, but if you would be, ask the question those who went astray in El-Fatiha, who were they? You would first have to say the Christians. The others are minor strayers. The Christians are the major strayers. So Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, himself was straying, it said in the Quran. He found you straying, and right away he guided you because you were innocent. He did not say, Thumma hada, it said fahada. So Thumma means it didn't happen right away. That means right away. So he guided you because you were innocent. Isn't that beautiful? We had been reading that, and we never thought that they strayed, that he strayed. But it is saying all the time that Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, strayed. We didn't register it. Turning to Jerusalem was worshiping Jews past glory. Turn your face to Kaaba. So he was following the best of his nature, but he couldn't unlock this thing. Satan was too powerful. So he strayed when he turned to Jerusalem and told the believers to follow him in prayer facing it. He strayed then, and he wasn't supposed to worship their political victory. And they had, and the great day of them as a kingdom, the kingdom of Solomon, commemorating them in their glory, and had hearts and souls couldn't bear it. So God said, we have seen in you your distress. Now we are going to turn you to a Qibla that will please you. I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for saving us from the world. That is what he has done. So dua before eating, addressing the Last Supper. Al-Hadith, page 2, 123-17. Whenever you recite the Quran, you don't have to do this when you eat. There is a different dua for eating. It asks only to pronounce the name of God when we eat. So this is to recall God himself, Bismillah, and we can eat. But most of us say more than that. Some of us say the whole Al-Fatiha. And then there are other traditional du'as to say. I like the one that says, praise be to God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who gives us our food and gives us that for our thirst, and who has made or called us to come together as believers. I like that du'a because it is addressing the Last Supper when Jesus represented the word of God, personified in the world, told him to take up his flesh, and that the bread was the symbol of his flesh, and the drink of his blood, and the wine was the symbol for his blood. So drink symbolizes thirst for spiritual understanding. So this is given food and bread came first, right? And then a drink. Food first, was the kina, and then drank. And then he brought us together as Muslims. It is deep. There is a lot of meaning in that. So this thirsting is not the thirst for physical food. It is the thirst for spiritual understanding. In the book, you hear is the people expressing that they thirst to know, to understand. their thirst to see their Lord as he is. So this is a spiritual hunger that is called a thirsting, and then they also want to be delivered from their cruel rulers who denied them the things of the world that God created for them to have. So they take the wealth and keep them in poverty. So they also wanted to have the material too, not just the spiritual. These are the two things. Material is associated with the science of knowledge, and the spiritual is associated with a science of knowledge. So you want to carry it to a little further to be at home. But when the real issue, then it is not just that thirsting for personal benefit. No, it's a religion, spiritual life that we have been called to, or that we have in this world. It leaves us thirsting, wanting more understanding. So this is something we want to come into our spiritual teaching, so we are thirsting for what? The true spiritual science, not this stuff that they gave us with guidance or without guidance. Rational science or social science. So this is a thirst for the spiritual science, and the other is the meat, and it also is the rational science. So one refers to the spiritual science and the other refers to the rational science. So the rational science or social science, so this is where things went bad in the religion. Those who wanted to dominate the world and keep the majority of the people ignorant so they can rule them and shortchange them and not have to worry about them, occupying them with mysteries. So what they did, they took the social science out of the religion and just gave us the spiritual science, but hid the real keys for unlocking even the spiritual science. It separated the social and it got rid of the social science, the social logic, not teaching the social logic and the social conscience of sciences. Crucified blood from Jesus' side is symbolic of the loss of the social sciences. So Jesus stabbed, then water and blood came out. They got rid of that out of the religion. That is the sacrifice in the blood in secret. So don't think of the cross as something that really happened. The cross is a revealing, hidden revelation from the average person so that they don't know what happened and don't know what it is talking about. But the shedding of the blood is taking off the social science out from the teachings of Jesus Christ, or the body and the knowledge that Jesus Christ represents. It is taking the spiritual science out of it. It is separating the two so they are not living together inside the body of knowledge. They are not existing and performing together inside of the one body of knowledge. They are separate. Spiritual on the one side, social on the other side. Isn't that just what we have in America? Come willingly or unwillingly, Jesus came by way of water and blood. So we have the secular world and the social science being taught to us by the secular world and the spiritual science left with the spiritual world. Whatever this is, how it is a separation. Jesus didn't come to separate that. He said, I come not only of water, I come of water and blood. And what did he come for? To reconcile the two, that means bring them together in one life where they belong. Water and blood belong in the same life. To reconcile them means they were mistakes in them. Mistakes in the sciences and in the education that causes these things to be adverse, in opposition to one another. And God made them to be in agreement with one another. So he comes to reconcile them. It means to bring them back into agreement, bring those two lives into agreement, spiritual life and the social life. So when a man is searching for understanding in religion, like I have all of my life almost, don't have the social interest and the spiritual interest at odds with one another. They are working together. Social interest in my intelligence is working with my spiritual interest in my intelligence. They both are working together. I'm not seeking to have understanding in my spiritual life only. I want to understand in my social and my spiritual life. And I want the spiritual understanding to better my social life. That is what I want it for. So that's my social life will be free and better. So they are together. And Jesus came to bring them together. But the same Jesus who came to bring them together, he is crucified. And they are separate, the Gnostic order of the church. The Gnostic order of the church. Look what happened to his mission. When he came, he addressed social issues, didn't he? Now, not just spiritual issues. In the New Testament, the coming of Jesus is the coming of a man who addresses social issues. And spiritual issues, he questioned their theology, how they understood God. He questioned their understanding of spiritual matters. But he looked at the suffering of the people, and he turned his heart towards them. And then he charged them with being negligent, and he told them to care for those suffering people. So here is a man who came addressing social issues and spiritual issues, and he is morally upright and pure person, very just, and that was lost. And then they established the Gnostic order of the church. That order remained until al-Islam came. Only al-Islam broke them from that order. So when al-Islam came, they began to reform the church. But it wasn't until late after al-Islam, pardon me, that they really made the complete reformation and brought the church to be involved in the social life of the people. And the first college and university established for the Western world were headed by the church, under the church, the very church that freed the people to have these things that were denied them under old church. The Gnostic order had to yield to the government. It freed them, and they grew powerful by support of the masses. Then the church had to yield to the influence and power of the government, and then they established themselves as a spiritual order and a spiritual kingdom only. And the government took over the social life, political life, economic life, and everything but the spiritual. So that is how they exist until now. That is being challenged now. And the authority in the White House don't have any respect for that old language. They do what they want to do. They are getting by with it. They are getting the support of the preachers. I read a caption in the paper, is Bush changing things? Separation of church and state. Is Bush changing that? No, Bush is just saying, you got by with what you did, and I'm going to get by with what I'm doing. So by in Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim means with, and it could also mean by. They translate it in or with, and like God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So the praise is for God. We do not have a verb yet. The praise is for God. How is this? The praise for God. I can't praise the brother for doing good works. Yes, you can. It did not say him. It said alhamdul. You mean the praise. It has connection with the scripture. Problems in the scripture that came before. So this is the key. Understand that this is addressing problems in the scripture of the people who had strayed. They had gone from the right understanding. Woe when all speak well of you. So the prophet David in his Bible, he says, woe is me when everyone should praise me. Those are David's words in the Old Testament. Woe means I'm sinning. All is lost for me if everyone or everybody should praise me. I was attracted to that as a young man, a little older than my son who is right here now. When I heard that, I said to myself, any person is finished when everybody is praising them. If everybody praises you, you are no good. If you are a righteous person or a good person, you don't want anybody to praise you but good people. And if the wrong person praises you, you get suspicious of them and you want to get away from them. So the Bible says, praise the Lord of Israel. So much until it established double the praise is for Israel. Clever, isn't it? Isn't that the Shaitan clever? It says that no, so much that the effects of it on the soul of the innocent person trying to come to God is that Israel is to be praised. Isn't that what it says? It says he aspired to put himself in the very seat of God up in the heavens and shown himself to the world as the God. So we have this description of God in Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, an invitation for us to seek him first and seek him by his true name, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it means that only God, the name itself conveys the meaning of the only God. There is no God but that God. That name says, there is no God but that God. The God, then we get descriptions of him, Al-Rahman and Al-Rahim. Then we offer praise to him, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So the Lord of all the worlds, not the Lord of the one particular world or one particular people. Then we repeat Al-Rahman and Al-Rahim because the people who are being addressed up there, they were followed by another people who said God had to repent his own works and send the Redeemer to come into the world as a Redeemer, as Jesus Christ. No, the same one up here who is Lord of the world, and he is really established as the merciful benefactor, the merciful Redeemer. It is repeated because he is the same one, even after Israel. And the next one is saying that not only the Jews were wrong in straying like that or like this, but also the Christians are wrong. That is what it is saying right here. He is Al-Rahman and Al-Rahim himself, not through a son or anything like that. Then he is the judge. He is the one who is going to judge everybody. Maliki Yawmiddin. So far, no verb yet. Iyake Nahabudu. Here come the verb. You alone do we worship. Wa Iyake Nastaim. And you alone we seek for help. So you worship Jesus Christ, and that is how you worship God. Or you ask Jesus Christ to help you save you or Israel to save you. No, you go directly to God of all the worlds. You worship him, ask him to accept you. And you ask him for help. What kind of help is this? It is to ask him to ask the judge to be lenient and not give me 10 years, but give me 2, please, God. Not that it's little petty stuff. Your community will help you there. You don't need God to help you. If you are innocent, your community will help you. This is not the kind of help. This is the big help that nations need. and they have been misled to believe, to see it by the wrong means, in the wrong light. Not the right light has come, and we seek that help from God to save not one person from criminal, no, save our world. This is help to have our world saved. And nobody can save your world but God. So it says only you we ask for help. Only you we turn to and worship, worshiping you. And only you are asking for help. So this is a big help to help save the world, help save the nation. Team, go straight up. If Dina Sarato Mustaqim, guide us on the straight pathway. This Mustaqim does not go like the streets of Chicago or like the streets of Markham. No. It goes this way straight up. It is not necessarily a three-lane highway. Sometimes it is just at one lane, and you have to take another one to come back down. So this is Mustaqim. So what kind of help we ask for God first? The help for our own souls and our own life and our own bodies, that it goes straight up to heaven. Why to heaven? Because the heaven up there connects us with the whole of creation. Looking at the earth, we see just a small little speck. But when the night comes and we see the skies up there, we see the picture of the whole, the universe. It takes us from a social situation to a bigger situation, or a smaller situation to a much bigger situation. It is saying, evolve us, elevate us, help us ascend higher and higher in the spirit and in the soul and in the quality of life. Up there, God, is your signs of peace and harmony, cooperation, mutual effects for existence together up there to stay in perfect order. So all the great meanings we see in the heavens that we miss down here, looking at the small earth sometimes. So we want to ascend in our own matter. We want to graduate in our own matter. So we want to rise up like a plant. The Quran says, he made your existence like a plant from a seed dead, and then go upwards into more and more pattern, beauty and design, symmetry, and in work and in production, etc. So this is the Mustaqim. Be upright, be truthful, and which grows into a better state and into a better form. Is going to be made useful to birth the breeze by him trying to advance his life, especially his material world. So the air is going to become unsafe. But the higher we go, the more we get away from the bad air. The higher we go up, the more we free ourselves of his bad air, industrial man's bad air. Look at the human body. We stand here, the feet can get very smelly if you do not clean them. And you know what happens in this area grow. You have to work hard to keep it, to keep the clean, to help to clean. And you come up here, and sometimes that which is down there comes out here, and it stinks from here, from the mouth. But where the nose is, you stop there, and the body is not throwing out any trouble for us. So up here is the vision. This is no trouble. All of the bad stuff is coming out mostly down here in the lower regions and some up here occasionally. But it is not too much trouble up here. We can take care of that. But there is no way we can stop the other. We have a special place to go for that. Look what happened. I want you to see the world as the thinker sort of world. The thinkers who served God, who sought God, God guided them. to see the world long time ago, ancient time, before religion, as we know it now, before there was a preaching of Judaism, preaching of Christianity, preaching of Islam. There were seers who saw these things. Those people who established themselves, they used it. They used the knowledge. People who were already into the sciences before them. Then they put into religion. Seers were amongst idol pagans who produced great things. So we destroyed people greater than you. They got a new idea of how they should relate to all two and one God into the one system. And they put it into a beautiful language, scripture guided by God. I'm not saying it is not revealed. God inspired them. And God revealed to them. But they had it, those people whose nations are called pagan idol worshippers amongst those. People were people who had the light. They were not all pagans. That is why God allowed them to produce such great things. Many of them had great civilization. They accomplished great things, science and civilizations. And in the Quran, it mentioned over and over again, you glorify in what you have done. There are nations that have come up on this earth and have gone, and they did it, and like of your doings, and some of them had better or more than you. Seeing the world correctly will help your soul be at peace. It will help you feel good inside. You ascend higher air the higher you go. With more, you get away from the bad air. You get pure air up there. So this is mustaqim. It is also ascension from the impure up to the pure and from the darkness up to the light. So this path is a path from impurity to an increase in purity, always from impurity and in an increase in understanding. A light away from darkness and ignorance. That is what this path is going up straight. And it is a path of part truths and all truths, the whole truth. The whole truth is seen in the whole universe. It cannot see in just one earth. If you want to know the whole sciences, the whole reality, you have to have a perception of the universe, a perception of the matter connecting throughout in space, indefinitely. So this is the true picture. Earth is limited. You can travel through it. You can travel all around it. Now, you can take a car and go all around the world. You put your car on the boat, and it will take you there. And you can drive your car or any continent in any town. So we know because people are doing that. So this is a small truth down here. You are moving upward from the small truth to the big truth, to the whole truth. That is Sirat al-Mustaqim. So Mustaqim is vertical, up Sabil is horizontal. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Did he say mustaqim and stop? No. He said afusiku fisabilla. And fusiku fisabilla, translated, spend in the path of God or in the way of God. So here is mustaqim vertical up and going this way horizontal. Is the sabilla. Is a path going horizontal with the surface of the earth. So mustaqim is vertical, up sabil is horizontal. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Did he say mustaqim and stop? No. He said, al-fusiku fis sabil lahi. translated, spend in the path of God or in the way of God. So here is mustaqim, vertical up, and going this way, horizontal, is the sabil, the sabilah, is the path going horizontal with the surface of the earth. So this is, they say, of the sabilah, horizontal establishment goes into the earth. Quran says your life is as a plant. It is so this mustaqim must have roots down here in the earth like a plant. The picture of your life is the picture of a plant. That is what God said. So in the Quran, or in the likeness of your life, which means a picture is the likeness of the plant life, or a parable of man's life, human life, in the parable of a plant. It goes down into the earth. So what goes down here in the earth, the roots of this life are down in the earth. And what are those roots doing? They're getting food and water from the earth. And that's bringing in the earth, manifest or project itself upward. And we see what was in the earth feeding and drinking to grow. And in the earth may be things that are of bad taste and things that will actually make you sick. But the roots of this life will filter what is taken from the earth, and then it draws only up into itself that which is healthy and good for itself. So the plant rejects what is bad for it, and it takes from the earth that which is good for it. And it even makes the water pure. It filters the water. So this is the path of mustaqim. Down here in the earth, taking the best of the minerals without the filth, taking the best of the water without the pollution and without the bad taste. And it's feeding the body, and it's growing up straight. So mercy in three limbs is served from bending burden. So the body won't throw a limb way out here that is heavy and big and throw one out there that is light to cause it to not be straight, bent over. It throws them out equally, symmetrically, in symmetry, balances through a branch all out equal, so it keeps it straight, keeping it balanced, straight. Relieves the burden, we see mercy. So in here too, the path of mustaqim is the path of mercy and kindness. It doesn't want to burden the structure. So it balances the structure to not unduly burden it and not bent out of shape. It keeps it straight, mustaqim. So if we would like this, we could teach from one little sign, and we could give that as principles of your life. You are saved. There is enough in one picture to save your life. So mustaqim in the sabil is the cross of life. Crucify the body on opposite side. Every man has his own vine and fig tree. Taketh not his cross. Mustaqim on horizontal brings man into one family. So it is the path that finds its life on the sabilah, on the way that is horizontal, that connects us with other men and women, other friends and families, other continents and other nations. The path that will eventually bring us to be one family, one earth, living and working together for the good of all. What do you see there? You see a cross. I just don't want you getting a cross that will tell me you don't see at all. So this is the true cross of light. The one that they claim that they crucified Jesus Christ on is the cross of death. The sabil of God and the mustaqim of human excellence, of human aspiration. So human ascension. In the path of God, the bounties that he created to support our life and connect our life. So this is the cross of life. Anchor cross psychology of human life. Did Muslims have it before? No. The Egyptians had it before. The Jews had it and the Christians had it before. We had it. Egyptians had it and they called it the anchor cross. Their knowledge was limited, not as big as ours, but don't think that they didn't know how to make the connection with heaven. They studied the stars above and made connections with the earth, science and astronomy. They had all of that ancient Egyptian. They had the cross, the powerful psychology. They had much knowledge of psychology, of human life and behavior. They had much of that science, and they could master their masses. So their masses was no problem for them. They could keep their masses in check. They knew how to keep their masses or their public in check. Cross psychology of human life. Did Muslims have it before? No. The Egyptians had it before. The Jews had it and the Christians had it before. We had it. Egyptians had it and they called it the anchor, cross of life. But their knowledge was limited, not as big as ours, but don't think. They didn't know how to make the connection with heaven. They studied the stars above. They made connections with the earth, science, and astronomy. They had all of that ancient Egyptian. They had the cross and the powerful psychology. They had much knowledge of psychology of human life and behavior. And they had much of that science, and they could master their masses. So their masses was no problem for them. They could keep their masses in check. They knew how to keep their masses or their public in check. Certainly it is a cross. Now, what does the Bible say of Jesus? He says, take up my cross. He did not say there was no other cross. He made it clear there was a cross out there and a cross that I have. And he said, take on my cross. It is light. My burden on my cross is light, meaning you're under a heavy cross. More correctly, you are under a double cross. And I want to give you my cross, the cross of light, the cross, not a double cross, the cross of light. Double cross takes the living human and nails them to a dead structure. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise. Imam Miraj speaks, takes living human nailed to a dead structure. So they have a double cross to take a living human being and nail him to a dead structure. That cross they put him on was a dead structure, dead wood from a once living entity. He was once alive, now he's dead. So what is the death? Death is the word, is the world void of the true spirit, void of the true life. It has been emptied of its true life. And now it's given to you as a dead thing. And then they fashion your life to that life. And you're drooped, you're dead. Not truly dead, but dead as the life God wanted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that the dead, that they did not crucify him, nor neither kill him, nor crucify him, but it was made to appear to them as such. Salakallahu ta'deen, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Maraj Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. If I made any of mistakes, it was my own mistake. This is not Imam Waqfi Muhammad. I'm his student. I'm a student of his. when those are my mistakes. Thank you, may God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the right understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And thank you for listening.